Katrina, I had so much, I was having a hard time cutting it down, and ended up, I got about 3 more messages after this, probably at least, maybe 4, but I was going to be getting into the Visible Union tonight, but I kind of started going a different way a little bit, and we are in the future home mostly tonight. So, but it's, we're going to talk about the Holy Convocation some more and let Brother Brown talk about it some more, but we're also going to talk about it in the same context as the oneness. So that first scripture there, we read this one Sunday. And that whole message there and the one after that one about the shepherds is really good. If you have time to go listen to those messages, I don't think I've listened to them that often, so I really got a lot out of those. But who do you say this is? He said, be one as I and the Father are one. Yeah, be that kind of one. I know we've read this every time, but I want it fresh on our minds every time we go look at it. Then how will that be? How will that be that we can be one like he and God are one? The word in us, it's already in us. The word in us will be the anointed word. It'll be anointed sometime. That's the oneness of God. When he anoints that word in you, that's the oneness of God. And that, brother and sister, is the only way you will ever be, not be, one word off. Is when he anoints that word in you, that's the only thing that is not one word off.
Amen.
Because that is the living God, and the living God can't be. We're not in a church age anymore. It's when he goes in there and anoints that word, then it's a different thing. It's a different day. See, the oneness of God is the word anointed in you. It's the oneness that we've been talking about, where you're one with God. It's when you're that word that's in you, that predestination, that gets anointed in you, see? And then you become a son, a Messiah of that age. Man, it's because God is bringing his word to life. That's when we talk about you become a written epistle, read of all men. You're not a written anything until that happens. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about trying to talk to somebody else. And I said, get born again first, and then you'll just be a witness. You won't have to, I need to talk about this, or I need to talk about that. The Lord will just let you witness, because you don't know what needs to be said to that other person, you know? We don't know what he wants you to do until he does it. I mean, they were walking along, and Jesus stopped and said, I have need to go by Samaria. Anybody know what Samaria was, that where the woman at the well was? 7 miles. I need to go 7 miles out of the way. Just going over there to talk to this one woman. And so you can be led that way. Because that, Brother Branham said, or Jesus said, I do nothing except the Father first draws me. I mean, first shows me. So the Father had showed him that. And he said we were going to be one like that. Doesn't mean we're going to do all the things Jesus done. But it means he can do anything he wants in you. He's removed the barrier. That's God living in you. There's nothing between him and you anymore. You and him have become one. Well, you always were one. But the expression in him has become one. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So, Brother Ram, you run out. And I backed up and I got all this about the Holy Convocation, because I didn't want to miss any of it. There's quite a few good points in here. You got your 7. All right, let's take the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, notice here in the 36th verse, 7 days shall you offer offerings of fire unto the Lord, and on the 8th day shall be a holy convocation. This is another holy time coming, he says. Holy convocation, and a convocation means a large formal gathering. And after the service the other day, I was talking to Brother Don, and he mentioned about eagles being gathered together is not called a flock. Like other birds, they say it's a flock. But when eagles are gathered together, it's called a convocation. I went and checked it out. It's true. And there's a, they even have a place where Michael and I went one year to Squamish, British Columbia. And as we were going through there, we stopped to eat, walked out, walked down the street, and there was this photograph place. We walked into this guy's wildlife photography, and we started looking at his wildlife, and it was just eagles everywhere. And we're like, where did you take these? He said, right over here on the river. And it was Fraser River. There's a Fraser River Valley. It's like 800 miles long there. Wow. And from between November and February, 35,000 eagles come through there. 35,000. And he said at one time, when we talked to that guy, at one time he said there's 3,000 and 4,000 down there sometimes, feasting on the salmon and stuff coming through there. Come from all over the place. But that's a kind of convocation. It's a gathering, large gathering, and they're feasting. And this is a holy convocation. And you shall offer a offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it is a solemn assembly, and you'll do no work therein. We got an eighth day. So somebody was telling Brother Bram, you run out of days. And now he showed him in the scripture where he's got another day. Now, there's only 7 days, but here we speak of the eighth day, the holy convocation. So this gathering, this large gathering, is happening on this eighth day. It's not happening in the 7 days. It's happening on the eighth day. Do no work in it. So in the eighth day, you're not going to work. It's like the seventh day was the Sabbath where they didn't work. But this is the eighth day, and you're not going to do any work here either. Do no work in it the eighth day, or what? Back to the first day. The eighth day is back to the first day. Why? It speaks of eternity. As she rolls around without a stopping place, amen, do you see it? Notice, so now he's placed this large gathering, not just in another day, he's calling the eighth day, but he's placed it in eternity. It also, notice, it was also upon this eighth day, last day, feast day of the tabernacle. Notice, after that last feast day of the tabernacle, after the last feast day, after the last church age, after the last complete 7 days on the earth, after the millennium, that this holy convocation comes. This gathering comes after the holy convocation, after the millennium. Remember, this is Feast of Tabernacles, gathering places. Amen. Where in the millennium? The Bible said, they shall build houses, they shall inhabit. But in the new earth, he's already went and prepared the place. It's built. We have nothing to do with building it. We have nothing to do with building this building. Amen. Eternal. Oh, I just love that word. My. A holy convocation the eighth day, which is only 7 days. Then on the eighth day, which comes back to the first day again, comes right back to the first day. The eighth day is a holy convocation. So he just keeps saying it over and over and over. This is a holy convocation. It's a holy meeting. And it's happening on the eighth day, which is eternal. He just keeps saying it, repeating it over. He don't want you to miss it. Notice, 7 days only has to do with the old creation. So now, if those 7 days that he say we passed past, that we gone past those, if they have to do with old creation and world time, remember what we said about time? I'm not sure if everybody got to listen in Sunday, but we talked about time. Brother Bram said time started when sin did. And it'll end when sin ends. So he's talking about 7 days only has to do with the old creation, world time. 7 days, that's the millennium, the rest day. So he placed the millennium on the seventh day. He put it in there with time. You see what he just did? Okay. As God labored 6 days and rested the seventh day. the church labors 6 days and rests the seventh, but you're still in the time element. And this holy convocation is not. I ain't speaking of the eternal. When he's talking about the time element, he's not speaking of the eternal. But you see, there's no such a thing as 8 days. You go back to the first day again, see, the first day. Now you think about, I think Brother Don mentioned it his last time. He's talking about redemption. If you take a book and you knock a book off on the floor, you can't put another book here and say that you redeemed it. You have to get that book and put it back. Not only do you have to put it back, but it has to be like it was before it fell from off of the there, before it's redeemed. Because that's the only way to put it back. But you see, there's no such a thing as 8 days, and you go back to the first day again. The Sabbath day, and what I was going to say there is about redemption is, I missed it, hang on 1 second. Is what it's just is just exactly what it's saying. It goes through 7 days and it goes back to the eighth day. It talks about going back to the beginning, which is what Brother Branham said is redemption. It takes you back. I just wanted to point that out. I'm not trying to take and run that thought through. I just wanted to point it out. The keeping of a Sabbath. The Sabbath speaks of the old law, which was to pass away. The keeping of a Sabbath, which passed away, or I would say changed to another. It didn't pass away. It just changed from the old law of keeping a certain day of the week. Isaiah, the 19th chapter, said, I believe 28:19 said, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Hold fast to that what's good, for with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. God is promising to speak, and listen to how he's talking about speaking. Stammering lips and other tongues, I'll speak to this people. And here is the rest, see. You enter into life, not keeping a day or shadow. After you come out of these church ages, then you enter into life. After he puts you back to the first day, you enter into life. He's called it eternal already. Now he's calling it eternal life. Amen. Paul said over there in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, you keep days and shadows and things like that, and I'm scared of your experience. So we don't pass into certain days and orders. So you don't pass out of church age into more orders and days.
That's right.
You're passed from death unto eternal life. Brother and sister, this is when God lights that fire. Brother Branham said one time that he's begun to give life to the body. That's the same thing he's talking about right here. And he had to do it. Brother Branham said he had to let Pentecost and the church ages die in order to bring and give life to the body. So we don't pass into any certain days and orders. You've passed from death unto eternal life, not days and times. You've passed into eternity. Brother, just sit and think about that sometime. You've passed from eternity. You passed from the worry of it. You passed from this carnal creature anymore. It has no preeminence over you anymore. When Brother Branham said that when that soul is born into you, that it tells the spirit what to do, and that's it. It does it. It's finished. And he didn't say that was a sometime it did it, or a maybe it did it. It does it. And we're gonna look at something tonight about Brother Branham brought that message, false anointed ones at the end time. And every time I've ever read that, until I read that message that Brother Branham brought, I read it and it sounded like they were falsely anointed.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
And then Brother Branham comes along and blows that whole thought out of that. It's just two words. False anointed are falsely anointed. Or if it, people would say falsely anointed are false anointed. And so Brother Branham come by and he said, they have the anointing of God.
True Holy Ghost.
The true Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that you got.
That's right.
So he had to come, now he has to tell the difference. So he's brought this message.
Amen.
All this time he's brought this message. He's talked about the soul and he's talked about it being the nature of the spirit. He's went all through these years like this Now he brings this message that there are false anointed ones. And they're not anointed by the devil. They're anointed by God.
Amen.
So how can it be that you got two groups of people, both anointed by the Spirit, and one's true and one's not true? And Brother Branham told us how that happens. So, but it all ties in with this holy convocation. Because Brother Branham said, before the foundation of the world, we were in him. We were attributes in him. We were his thoughts. And Brother Branham said, those thoughts are living. They're eternal. But they're not people. They're thoughts. When they're expressed, they're people. They come into a being. And Brother Branham said, there was nobody to worship him back there. So if you want to call those people, then why weren't they worshiping? So it's not that. So don't get people get that in their heads, and it's not the case. You make God a bunch of people when you start doing that. God is not full of people. He was full of thoughts. They were his desires, the things that he wanted to do, the things that he wanted to bring to pass. Brother Ram said he had his thoughts about Adam. Before he ever brought him into being, he had his thoughts about Adam. He said he had his thoughts about you and I, what color our hair was, you know, how tall we were, every little thing about us. He had that in his mind, all of that. And he also knew, Brother Branham said, that he always knew. Now, this part I will never understand, and it's okay with me. But I don't understand how that he let us choose, and yet he always knew who would and who would not. Because you were always a part of him. You were never not a part of him. That thought that was in him was always in him. Brother Branham said, you don't get any new thoughts. They're always there. And so, if all of his thoughts are there, what is going to cause this holy convocation? What is going to cause this gathering all of a sudden? What is it? Because the scripture talks about, in the end, he'll gather all things into one.
That's right.
So what is he doing? He's got to go and get his book, redeem his children back, and then he can claim his rights, right? Because he redeemed us, but he hasn't went and claimed it yet. And he has to wait till the church ages finishes. And we're looking at this holy convocation here. It can't happen during the church ages. This holy gathering has to happen outside of the church ages. And so I just want to pull those in so we're not getting too bogged down and getting, you know, what they call it, tunnel vision. So, paragraph 224. It was on the eighth day that our Lord raised from the dead. Now, you listen to what he's saying here. The Lord raised from the dead. He just said that eighth day was the eternal. And Brother Branham said he raised him up glorified. He was glorified. Brother Branham said he raised up the same body glorified. And he's calling this the eternal. On the eighth day, our Lord raised from the dead. There's your other convocation, the holiness. Now, what did he tell us in that was in God's mind before the foundation of the world? He had that threefold purpose, remember? And the first one was to express himself in Christ so that he could express himself in his bride so he could restore Eden. And right here, he's calling, when Jesus raised from the dead, he's calling that the holy convocation. That was a holy convocation. Because it was on the eighth day that he rose. Not considering Sabbaths at all, or Feast of Tabernacles, a Feast of this and Feast of the Pentecost, Jesus raised from the dead for what?
Amen.
He's talking about the eighth day. And on the eighth day, he rose, raised from the dead for our justification.
Amen.
I mean, remember what he said in Invisible Union. On the eighth day, after the seven Sabbaths, or 7 days, after these things, after the seven Sabbaths or 7 days, 7 church ages, Jesus raised from the dead, eighth day, which is a holy convocation. So there, he just said it plain out. If you didn't catch it from what I said a while ago, he just said it plain out, which is the first day. And that's when Jesus raised from the dead. Eighth day. which is a holy convocation, see, which is the first day. See, has passed through time. I don't think I'm misquoted that. See, you've done, has passed through time and dropped into eternity again. Now that's a point I want us to think about. We pass through time. And we got, Brother Branham always talked about, he mentioned there's two William Branhams, the one he was born as, and the other one that's down in there. He talked about there being two books, the book of life and the book of Lamb's life. Which one was predestination? Was we predestinated for that book of life, the first one? Was we predestinated to be born lost? Or is it the one that the Lamb's book of life? Is that predestination? See? Well, it actually was the life coming through the first one into the other one. But we'll get that sometime. But I just wanted to mention it because, like I was saying this past Sunday, God brings it, the same thing, a bunch of different ways. Because just bringing it one way doesn't express the richness of it and the trueness of it and everything that God wants to say about it. Because He's God, you know, and He's having to say it to us. He's having to tell it to us. And so He chose to do it all these different ways to bring this in, because all of those are needed. All of those different ways of showing us what this one thing He's doing. Because He said He had one purpose, right?
Yep.
One purpose and one goal. And nothing you read in the message changes that.
That's right.
Ever.
All goes together.
When you read the message, that it all goes into that one purpose and that one goal. He only has one. And what did He say the whole Bible was? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And He said that the three comings are what? Jesus comes to save us, to pay the price. He comes the next time to get us, and the third time with us. And He said all of those was one coming. One expression of what's in the back of God's mind. He had one goal and one purpose. And I'm just glad to be part of the purpose, part of the goal. And whichever way He wants to steer me, that's the way I want to go. See, you done passed through time, dropped into eternity again, not keeping of days, and keeping of Sabbaths, and new moons, and things like that. Now, I'm going to give an example of passing through time and dropping into eternity again, or at least the passing through time part here in just a minute. Not keeping of days, keeping of Sabbaths, new moons, and things like that, but hath passed, changed your form. What Brother Branham say, when we were born again, it was a new creation. Not annihilated glory. But passed from death unto life eternal. Oh, what the Bible does teach us. Yes, passed from one to another. Passed through those times and stuff and into eternity. That's what He's talking about. All right, passed. The old Sabbath is passed. Jesus raised on the eighth day. And that was a solemn day, holy. So He's making two holy convocations there. And don't miss that. He's making one when Jesus rose, and He's making one at the end of the church ages. That's very important. It wasn't a day because a day and time had run out. It passed into eternity. See, it swung right back to the first day again, see? Redemption. That just screams redemption to me when He says that. Eternity is like a ring. You can't find no corner to it. You can't find no stopping place in a perfect circle. You go on and on. I don't care how far you go, you're still going. You can start going around like this and go through the floor and go through the earth and go beyond the earth. And you're still, I'm assuming He said going. All things that's created in here are perverted. Now, last Sunday, I read that about this time, eternity being like a perfect circle. And Brother Branham said when sin started in the garden, it made a little block in there. And that was a block of time And he said, it didn't stop eternity. Eternity can't stop. Eternity just kept on going. But it passed through time. And we talked, Brother Bram talked about, and if you want to look it up sometime, that scarlet red line or third thread that come through, that was eternity, stretching through time where people could grasp a hold to God. And Brother Bram said, on the other side of time stood what? The Ancient of Days, the Ancient of Times, he said. And he said, I was reading that today where he's talking about, he called him the Ancient of Days because he can't get old. So he can't have him old or aged, but he's Ancient of Time. So he's been there the whole time. Brother Bram said he drove a post down in Eden, right there when the fog happened. And then he's standing on the other end of it. And that sounds like to me, that's where the holy convocation is going to be. It sounds like to me. All things is created down here. So that's what he's talking about. Now he's going back in to talk about the difference between, he keeps talking about passing through time and dropping back into eternity. So he wants to give you a little background on why he's saying this. All things is created down here are perverted, not created by Satan, will drop out when that golden bell rings and a trumpet sounds. And back yonder at the beginning, where the tie post was made in Eden, I just said that, I didn't know I was getting to there. When man come to earth and he fell, a little lamb shed its blood, and that spoke, God doing something already speaking of his, he of eternal. See, that was God speaking of the eternal in a shadow right there. Because God had planned, he knew this was going to happen. And so that, this lamb being a bleeding was speaking of it. Calvary raised, the little lamb shed its blood. That spoke of the great lamb that was coming to shed its blood. Calvary raised the cross. That tied for the Old Testament to them who justified and looked for it. And in this new dispensation, at the coming of the Lord, at the new earth, the rope of salvation, the blood, the redeemed power that I'm talking about, and through the same system has redeemed both man and earth, will raise right up into eternity again. And the lake of fire will consume everything that's ungodly and unpredestinated to it. Do you see it? Notice the eighth day, Jesus raised for our justification. There he says it again. On the eighth day, it was something he done in the eternal. The eternal king with the eternal kingdom to be baptized to eternal life. That's what he bought for us. The eternal king with the eternal kingdom to be baptized into eternal life. Not be baptized into 7 days. Not nothing to do with any of the days.
That's right.
None of the days whatsoever. It's speaking of another eternal.
Amen.
What was the first eternal he talked about? He talked about it when Jesus was raised for our justification. That was that first eternal. That was what he was referring to as that first holy convocation. Now he's pointing to, this speaks of another eternal coming. Speaking of an eternal time, the world that I'm speaking of. And notice, after 50 days or 7 Sabbaths, 7 times 7 is 49, right? From there, again, there come another holy convocation. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost on the 7th day. Now listen, he's going to tell you what happened. And the Holy Ghost falling on the 7th day, the Pentecost on the 7th day, is not the holy convocation. Make sure you don't miss that and don't get mixed up. Or the 8th day, rather the 8th day fell on the 8th day. There's 7 Sabbaths later, exactly after his resurrection, see? So it'll be 7 times that again. Bring it back here around to the first day of the week. I think I misread that. Let me go back. I don't want to misrepresent something. All right, again, coming another holy convocation. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost on the seventh day. And Pentecost means 50. But this says on the seventh day, and then he corrects it to the eighth day, rather. Fell on the eighth day. Was seven Sabbaths later, exactly after his resurrection. So, oh, okay. I see what he's saying. That's when the Holy Ghost fell. All right. Was seven Sabbaths later, exactly after his resurrection, see? So it'll be seven times that again. Brings it back around to the first day of the week again. Exactly, see? There's your holy convocation. Not having anything to do with literal things. It's beyond that. It's into the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom of God? It's in your heart. It's in the kingdom of God with eternal life, with predestinated that never did start. It never started on any day. You wasn't saved on any day. That eternal life was already always there.
Amen.
You were always saved. Amen. Jesus just come to redeem that. He didn't come to redeem the fallen part. He didn't come to redeem a perverted you. He wasn't going to take a perverted you and do something with it. He come to redeem the part, like we gave the example a while ago when the book fell. That's what he come to redeem. He come to redeem his right to bring that thought into existence again. He never started on any day. You wasn't saved on any day. You was always saved. Amen. Jesus just came to redeem that. But you was saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. So you, the expression, was lost. Soul, spirit, body. When we come into being the wrong way, as I talked about that Sunday, Brother Ram said, God, that Satan perverted his way by going there in the garden, perverting the way that people come into being. We have come in as sinful people. And so that he didn't come to redeem the sinful person, come to redeem his right to express. And I'm going to prove it to you here in just a minute. I know that sounds contradictory to maybe some of the things that it seems he's saying, but I'm going to prove it to you here in just a minute. Because when Brother Bram said, when you're born into this world, he said that there is no thing about you that wants him, that wants God. He said you couldn't desire him if you wanted to. Is that right? Is that what he said? So how is it that he can draw you? If you couldn't desire him if you wanted to, then what is he drawing? What is he getting? What is he pulling to him? We'll find it here in just a minute. The eighth day, the eighth cannot be counted with the week. See, it cannot be counted 8 days in a week. You can't do it, see, because there's only seven in a week. Count it any way you want. Sunday is the first day of the week, see. You count seven, you go back in, start over again. Count seven, come back, and go over again, see. And we lived through all these types in here. We've lived through them. All these types here. But when you hit the eighth, you go into eternity. Once you've lived through all the types in the shadows, you go into eternity. You don't come by laws and rituals and orders. Now, I read this Sunday, but I wanted to get it again. You come by what? What do you come by? You don't come by laws and rituals and orders. You come by predestination. You come, God brings that thought to life. He brings that word to life. I'm going to show you here in just a minute. You come by predestination. Amen. There's a genuine holy convocation. And I'm going to nail it down here in a minute when it talks about soul and spirit here in just a second. We're ending the seventh church age, the Pentecostal age. Do you see it? That Pentecostal age is ending, he's saying. We're entering the holy convocation. And what did he say about the Pentecostal age? That God let it die. And he says that over in 65. Eternity. We're entering the holy convocation. We are entering into that real, genuine eternity where the church is called. She's called into this. Not to some station and some denomination, but into eternity with their eternal King. That sounds like that oneness to me, brother and sister. But into eternity with their eternal King. We don't have it all. No such a things as days and things and times. You've passed into eternity. Where you come from. See where you come from. You was there to begin with, see? You got eternal life. There's only one form of eternal. There's only one form, and that's God. And you are an expressed attribute. You're that eternal life expressed into existence. See? If you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. If there's no predestination there for Him to, you know, come bring you by, then you're not going to be there. No man can come to me except my Father has drawed him. Which passes away all those old things, but these things don't. So it speaks of eternity. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you're in eternity where you was all the time, but you just recognized what happened. See, you were made for an eternal purpose. You were made for an eternal purpose because you was the manifestation of an attribute that was in God. See, that you're the manifestation of that eternal life. You're that eternal life being brought into existence. You're God acting. You're God doing something. What did he say? We were part of his body. Yeah, that's what he said. He wanted to fellowship with his thoughts. You're part of that. Because that was you, the manifestation of an attribute that was in God. That thought of you and expressed you and made an earth to take you out of and make you a human being. And then sin come along and perverted his way. And I mentioned that earlier. Because he goes to express you. And when he does, sin has perverted that. So when you come into existence, you're not that thought. You're a perversion of that thought. We come in here, we're sin, right? Brother Bram said, we come into the world speaking lies. And he said, there's nothing in us to desire. That's the way we're born. Nothing in us to desire to do right. So he come, I can give you that quote too if y'all want that quote, but y'all probably know where it's at. So he come and redeemed you, the expressed attribute, and also redeems the earth by the same way. So he's taking these materials that he created, and he's taking them back away from Satan. The expressed attribute, that's whatever God thought he expressed into existence. And those things got perverted. That's what he's talking about right here. Sin come along and perverted his way of expressing. You come anyhow, and you was lost with the world when you come. So he come and redeemed you, the expressed attribute, and also redeems the earth by the same way. Then his purpose rolls on, see? Oh, hallelujah. That does so much good to think of just what lays ahead. And in Ephesians 1:10, he's called. Now, if you're putting it down in 1:10, it's called not a dispensation, not the seventh day. It's called what? The fullness of time. And we talked about that Sunday. The fullness of time is when time's finished. When God let time take place, what was it for? It was for him to express himself as a savior because there had to be somebody lost. And so that meant for a certain amount of time, he was going to let people be born in sin. And he was going to come along and he was going to be make himself as a man and save us. All this happening during time. God had to open up this because otherwise then Jesus wouldn't have been able to die. There had to be this allowance of things that were not perfect on the earth so that there could be death. And so that God could come and die as a man and be a savior. There had to be people that were sick so that he could heal them and show himself as a healer. And so God, when that happened back there at the garden, Brother Branham said, whenever the fall come, that's when time come. And so, but when that's used up, when he's done with it, when it's served its purpose, that's what the fullness of time is. Now it's over. He don't need to let this stuff go that he's let go for all this time. And then the fullness of time has come. That's when time has been fulfilled. So time had a purpose. And whatever that purpose was, when this fullness of time comes, it's done. It's been fulfilled. And when there is no more time, then you go into eternity. And after the seventh church age is over, and it is, Luther's age is over, the Methodist age is over, the Pentecostal age is over, and now you go into what? Eternity. No more sevens and no more threes and no more other. They're in eternity, where there is no such a thing, such time as numbers and times and things. Amen? Oh my, you see it now. Oh, or after time has been fulfilled, all sin is gone, taken away at the millennium. So now he's talking, he was just talking and he was bringing this, the spiritual side of it, talking about the Pentecostal age and the Methodist age, talking about them being over and going into the eternal. He makes it very clear that we went into the eternal. And then the very next paragraph, he says, after time has been fulfilled, all sin is gone. Taken away when? At the millennium. But when you go into eternity, when you're born again, what did Brother Branham say? He was raised for our justification. That was a holy convocation that spoke of another one. And so when at the end of this church age, when he goes to claim what he had paid for and has waited all these years and has stayed there on the mercy seat, now he can come get it. And he comes and gets it. And when he does, then you pass from a church age birth into the birth. We're not talking about you getting a hold of the scarlet thread anymore. We're talking about being raised up into eternity. There's no more need for that scarlet thread. And that's what we talk about. He talks about he leaves the mercy seat. You know, the one thing that people don't realize is he didn't leave the mercy seat altogether at the end. He left the mercy seat in every church age. Because Brother Ram said, every church age had judgment, right? Every church age had a judgment. Brother Ram said, a message come, a prophet messenger brought it, and the people who were going to receive it received it, and then the ones that weren't, it was judgment, and a plague was dropped on them. I think he said plague. So, if Brother Ram said he was opening the seal, he had to get up and go over there and open the seal. So it's a type. It's a type too. He was going and opening that seal. Brother Ram said when he got to the end, they were all open. He wasn't opening them anymore. When he got to the end, they were all open. He was telling us the mystery of them because they were already open. So he's been opening them, and judgment's been handed out all down through the ages. I told this to Brother Holmes one night when we were back there in the back. I said, Brother, I said, it looks like to me that it's been that judgment and that him leaving the mercy seat has been happening in every age. And then at the end, he leaves it for good. He said, that's the truth, Brother. And I wish I could get that across, he said. But I don't think he ever ministered on it, but if he has to leave the mercy seat, see, that message in every church age was mercy. And when that mercy was rejected, then the blood for that age was gone. He left the mercy seat for that age. You see what I'm saying? No more. And it goes to the next one. And same. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all heard that talked about so much. Okay, so now he's talking about millennium, the great white throne judgment, a type by the Holy Ghost. After the world is on fire and baptized, it's baptism of holy fire from heaven. Now he's talking about the world being, and we done got ours, our spiritual one. After the world is on fire and baptized in the baptism of holy fire from heaven, all sin's gone. Sin's still here in this thing, right? It still walks around every day, getting older, getting a little more creaking and popping, and it gets sick. So sin's still here in this, right? But down in your soul, sin's gone. Brother Rem said, the desire for the world is gone. If you get a chance sometime, read that message he talked about, the quickening powers in 65. Baptism of holy fire from heaven. All sin is gone. All germs is gone. All devils is gone. All imp temptations is gone. All the evil is gone. And what does God do? He can sit upon the earth, see, because all sin is gone. That's the same thing he does when he gives you the Holy Ghost, baptism of fire. See, that's what I just said. It's the same thing. He can come and dwell with you. And we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because we are already in him. But he has to give you that Holy Ghost baptism of fire first before he can come dwell, right? He can come dwell with you and sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because we're already in him. Not we will be. We are now sitting in Christ Jesus. How do we get into it? By one Holy Ghost baptism. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into Christ, which we are now. Won't be in Christ, we are. He is the great spiritual king over the spirit that's in us because we were in him at the beginning. Sounds like a gathering to me. All right, I'm going to point out something about predestination and how you passed through time. Now, look at this little woman at the well, Brother Brown's talking about, and see what he says about her. She says, well, now, wait a minute. I understand you being a Jew said, now, you Jews said, you mean to tell me that you're greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? He was the God of Jacob, see? Said, do you mean that you're greater than Jacob that dug this well? An ordinary man, see, looked like, that's all you seen, an ordinary man. You say, you're greater than our father Jacob who dug the well and he drank from it himself and his cattle. And, well, we're just blessed by drinking this well where that prophet digged. And he said, I'm greater. Amen. And we worship in the mountain, and she didn't run. See, something held her. She didn't go nowhere. You say at Jerusalem, he said, salvation is of the Jew, woman. We know what we're talking about. Said, you worship, you don't know what. A Jew's supposed to know the world, see, how it's supposed to be. But see, he was watching now. Why? What is he going to do? Brother Bram said he was contacting her spirit. What's he going to do? Prove his word. See, why? He said, by the way, go get your husband and come here. And she said, I don't have any husband. And he said, why? He said, you told the truth, see, because you have had five, and the one that now you have is not your husband. There's that woman standing there in front of God in flesh. And she's born into this world. Brother Branham said, there's no way she could desire him. There's no way any of us could desire him the way we're born. So how does this take place? How in the world is her standing before him like this? How does it take in place? Brother Bram says, watch. Something happened. See, something took life. What took life? That soul and that spirit and that body couldn't take nothing. Brother Bram said they couldn't desire it. There's nothing in it to do it. It's lost with the world. But what happened? Predestination. Look, see what he said. Now, if it hadn't have been in there to begin with, if she hadn't had representation by predestination, it had never took hold. But because she had predestination, then she could get it. that word could strike that. It wasn't striking this old creation. That's what I want you to see. It was striking that eternal word. It was anointing that word just for that little bit, that day. That was enough for her. And all through the church ages, it's been doing the same thing. It's been anointing. You say, well, Paul, he was born of the day. Well, how is that possible? That's what I want to know. How is it that Paul had the same birth we do? And remember, I argued the opposite with Brother Don. Years ago, we had a horse trip, and I'm sure that your brother and the rest of them got tired of hearing us. But we got to talking, and he was talking about the Holy Ghost, that Paul didn't have the same birth that we do. And I was like, well, ain't it the same Holy Ghost? He said, yeah, it's the same Holy Ghost, but he didn't have the same birth as we do. And so we went around and around, but he said a few things that Brother Holmes had brought about that those during the church ages were begotten. They weren't born, he said. Brother Bram said that. And so this is a little sister being begotten right here. Something striking that word. Amen. But she couldn't be born. She couldn't be born until this day. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Because he hadn't even paid the price yet. But the anointed word for the age could spark that seed in her right there where he was standing. And Brother Bram said, if that anointed word flashes over that predestination, it'll come. And so this is you passing through time. Brother Bram talked about people passing through time into eternity. Well, this is the passing through time part. See, that scarlet thread, she got a hold of that scarlet thread because she was predestinated. There in the middle of time was eternity flowing through there. Eternity went 7 miles out of the way to stand in front of her and talk to her. And when that anointed word struck that word, she got a hold of the line. And so one day when God pulled it up, she come with it. See? And that every age there was a word that you had to get a hold to. In every age, if there was a predestinated seed, when they heard that word, they called a hold to that. So that was people passing through time. Because he said he couldn't have this holy convocation in time, right? So what was going on inside Jesus was eternal. He said, don't miss that. Yeah. It was something. Eternity was taking place in a body that was breaking down and dying. Eternity was taking place in there. Eternity. Jesus Christ was walking around. Brother Bram said he sat on a rock and his head hurt so bad. He sat there and just groaned. Eternity taking place. Looked just like a man that walked around so much fooled and so much humility. He fooled Satan when he walked up Golgotha. I'm getting off the message right here, but I want people get their idea about what time, what eternal is and what it isn't. And eternal is God making himself manifest. That's God. And so you think about it. He's always been a healer. So if anybody here has been healed, I know I've been healed of stuff. So that was God expressing. That was the eternal God expressing himself while this thing is still dying. That eternal God went down there, and that was God, the eternal God, showing himself the healer, raising Lazarus from the dead down there. That was God. And then Lazarus went and died again. But it was still God. That was time. That was eternity passing through time there. It never stopped. It was just God had things he was going to do in eternity, in time, and so he started doing them. I hope that makes sense, and I ain't making a mess of that. So, watch, something happened. See, something took life. Now, if it hadn't have been in there to begin with, if she hadn't have had representation from predestination, it had never took hold. There stood priest there, said, this man is Beelzebub. See, I think they called her the Syrophoenician woman. Is that what they called her? Or is that or Samaritan woman? I can't remember what they called her. But anyways, there was two Samaritan women. There was the one that was born, and there was the predestinated one down in there. Just like there was two William Branhams. So, and then this priest stood off there calling him Beelzebub. It's the eternal life. One recognized it, and one called it the devil. Eternal life, you always was. See, you have eternal life. There's only one form of it. All right, let's skip down to paragraph 182. She looked around, look what a sinful shape she was in. But see, she couldn't get that priest. He couldn't get the priest because the priest was an educated scholar, a theologian in the word, with no representation in heaven. There was no way he could draw him. See, there was nothing there to draw. See, wasn't in God's thinking at all. So he's drawing God's thought, you know,
amen,
that predestination.
That's right.
But this woman was, said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." That's just all he wanted her to see. That's all he wanted her to see. Said, "We believe that you are. I believe you're a prophet. Now we know. We don't understand about the prophets now because it's real late. But now that there's a Messiah coming, and when that Messiah comes, he's going to be the Word. See, he's going to know the secrets of the heart. He's going to do the same thing that you did there." See, said, "You must be one of his prophets to forerun him or something." And he said, "I am he." What would he do? He was proving his word, proving his position, proving what he was. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And God is the Word. All right, he calmed the winds and the waves to prove Isaiah's prophecy. He shall be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father. See, he also multiplied bread and fishes and the virgin born son. What was it? To prove the Word. All scripture has to be fulfilled. He proved the Word. And by coming by there and talking to that little sister and her responding, he proved that Word that was in her. That's what he was going around and doing. God in creation, God with a little part of creation here that God was living in himself. He was the beginning of that creation of God. And from him begets many sons. Note, he also multiplied the fishes. All right, so let's get a couple of quotes here. And I'm not going to read this Church Age quote here at the end. I'm going to save that one for the next message. But I want to get these two quotes here. Now notice in this now, David thought he had everything in order and he was inspired. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But it's not got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul as dark as pitch. And that's what he's talking about. He mentioned in this because of what he preached on false anointed ones. That cuckoo burr grows on the same water that builds, puts life into the wheat, puts life into the cuckoo burr. But at the bottom of the cuckoo burr, it's cuckoo burr life. It's rejoicing and blooming and got life and doing everything that the wheat does, but the soul of it is a cuckoo burr. So there's the Holy Ghost was on that spirit, but the soul was a cuckoo burr. And Brother Branham, he never made this division like this until 1965 that I know of. And in fact, late in 65 before he drew this line like this. But, okay, so false teachers can rise teaching all kind of Trinitarianism and everything else, be anointed with the Holy Ghost, perform just as many miracles as the true gospel can, but by the word here, that's what does it. See what I mean? Now, it's all right to teach this, I guess. I'm in an interdenominational tabernacle this morning in the hotel here. All right, and so here's one more. Oh, for the grace of God, that he would give us an understanding of such great mysteries. As Paul spoke here, further on down in Ephesians, speaking of the husband and wife, and he said, this is a mystery, how the woman should be in respects to her husband. Even the second place, I believe it is, the entire Bible that reverence has ever spoke to. The woman seeing her reverence, her husband, reverence her husband, then a husband ought to live such a life before. So he's talking about her reverencing the husband, and now what? He's going to tell you what the husband is that she reverences. Yeah. The only way she can do it. If he's a Christian and she's a Christian. Then a husband ought to live such a life before his wife that his wife could reverence him as a son of God.
Yeah.
Because she's not supposed to reverence anything but God, right? And if he doesn't live that kind of life, well then, of course, she wouldn't reverence him because she knows what he's made of. But, and I'm here to tell you, I was in this boat for a long time. And that little sister can tell you. But not anymore. Because she knows what he's made out of. But then when it is a man that is reverent, man, reverent and clean with his with his wife and before his family, a real servant of God, then the woman, children and all, should respect that servant of God with reverence. Notice now, woman, they want to have bobbed hair. They want to wear shorts, paint, makeup, these little bikinis and things they wear nowadays, and they want to do it, and yet they want to go to church. You see that anointing on the spirit.
That's right.
And not upon the soul.
Amen.
Brother Ram never drew this line like this, ever, before these messages where he started. And there's several more that he talks about this in. Not upon the soul. There is an anointing, but brother, we just talked about it. It's when he anoints that predestination, not just in a little part so that the little sister could see just the little. We're not passing through time anymore. No, there's going to come, like he said with Jesus, that was a holy convocation. He said Jesus was a union. He was one with God. And he asked that we would be the same. And that's what's happening now, brother and sister. So I'm sorry I rambled tonight because I did. And I apologize. But hopefully as we go along, maybe some of the things I said that were jumbled up, I'll say.